Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. Well, here's a loaded question for you. Are you ready? How do you view God? What words come to mind when you think about Him? Well, my guest today is Chip Ingram from Living on the Edge Ministries. He's heard daily here on Faith Radio, and we've had him on a number of times. But today he's going to talk about how our distorted view of God is really the root of all of our problems. He's got a brand new book titled The Real God, How He Longs for You to See Him. Honestly, I feel like this book is like a love letter from God to our hearts. And so many of us have been bumped and bruised by life and truly maybe treated poorly by other Christians. But all of the things that happen to us seem to frame our perspective of who God is. And yet God longs to be known for who He is. And that's what Chip's writing about today. I feel like this book is gold, and I'm really saying that. We've got three copies. So throughout my conversation with Chip, if you want in on the drawing, get your email in to me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and then write The Real God somewhere in that email so I know this is the book that you're buying for. I'll get Chip on in just a moment. A quick announcement, super important. Tomorrow is our big, great giveaway. We do this once a year on Live the Promise, and our hope and prayer is to get thousands of you mobilized to engage in random acts of kindness in ways that you normally wouldn't, where you get out of your comfort zone and tend to somebody in need, especially during this season. I pray that you'll do it. More information is on our website, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Live the Promise show page. At the top of the page, you'll see the great giveaway banner. Click on that and tell us your story. And we're going to devote the whole show tomorrow, live show, to your calls as well. But the first 100 of you to write in through the website and tell us your story will get a copy of my new book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith, along with some candy and some treats. And the two most inspirational stories will win a great giveaway basket full of books, movies, goodies, as our way of saying thank you for being the hands and feet of Christ. Well, my guest today writes this: our distorted view of God is at the root of all of our problems. We've created a God in our minds who only faintly resembles the God of Scripture. These mental idols comfort our emotions, but they're powerless to deliver us from evil or transform our lives. The way back, the path of hope, starts with knowing God for who He really is. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Chip Ingram is a senior pastor of Venture Christian Church in Los Gatos, California, teaching pastor and CEO of Living on the Edge, an international teaching and discipleship ministry. Chip and his wife, Teresa, have four grown children and nine grandchildren and live in sunny California. Dear Chip, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Susie, great to be with you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I always love having you on the show. Chip, you've been on enough times, you know this. We love to start our conversations talking Scripture, and I know you're someone who advocates for major Scripture memory. Wondering if there's a particular passage, though, that God's just been speaking to you about these days.
You know, I've done something out loud. Maybe this would be helpful. Our chief operating officer from Living on the Edge, his name's Andrew, he's been in ministry, grew up in a ministry home, and, you know, this might be a great word for people who, I love God, I love His Word, but you kind of need something fresh now and then. And we were in a conversation, and before we meet by way of video every week, and he said, you know, I just have to tell you something. It was like, this has been, I mean, God is so speaking to me, I'm so excited, and His personality is pretty reserved, and so this is like, whoa, Andrew, what's going on here? He said, you know, I think maybe I'm an auditory learner, and I got this idea that I wanted to read chronologically from, like, the Apostle Paul's very first epistle in order when he wrote them all, and he said, so I decided, I don't know, I was just kind of goofing around, so I read it out loud, And I tried to read the books like they probably were heard, like all in one setting. So I read all of Romans out loud and all of Galatians and then all of 1 Corinthians. And so I got talking with him. He goes like, and as I hear my own voice and it's scripture, God is just like super speaking to me. And so anyway, he said, I had to go back. I've done Romans 5 times. And so anyway, I got to get away for a week with my wife. And, you know, I don't know. I hope it's not my competitive spirit or my spiritual envy, but I thought, you know, I haven't done something like that in a while. If that's what he did, I think I'm going to give it a try. So while I was away with my wife for our anniversary last week, I thought, well, I want to do Acts. So I started Acts and just started reading, you know, rather briskly, but out loud through the New Testament. And all I would just say is it was like taking a bath.
Really?
And stuff that I've already known, but reading it out loud and just like, you know, and I didn't feel like I had to read the whole book of Acts in one setting, but, you know, yeah, I went through like 19 or, you know, chapters, and then before I knew it, gosh, I had made my way through a big part of the New Testament, and it was so just encouraging. So I think the word I have for people is, you know, we usually get in habits, and, you know, I'm reading a devotional, and then I read X amount, or I'm reading from Old Testament and New Testament, or sometimes maybe some people are saying, well, I'm in the Gospels right now, and I think my word is keep it fresh. You know, the greatest restaurant in the world, eating the same food, the food's always great, but, you know, sometimes you need to order something different or go to a different restaurant with great food so that it just stays fresh and vital. And I think hearing the excitement in someone who had walked with God for so many years and is so faithful, very godly, to hear this new excitement, I just thought to myself, you know what?
I'll have what he's having.
We'll take two of those.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we met, you know, like on Mondays. He lives in Southern California, and I'm Northern, and so I told him what I did. He just started laughing. He just said, "Ingram, you kill me." I said, "Well, I wanted to get in on if God's speaking more clearly out loud. That's what I want." But you know, I would just encourage people. You know, Jesus said, "You search for me." In the scriptures, and it is these that bear witness of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if we're not careful, we can search and read the scriptures and forget the whole point as they bear witness to Jesus, that he wants to speak to us, that he loves us, that he wants at times for that passage to just come off the page, at times to just cut our heart to the quick. And, oh, Lord, Boy, you're right. I've been so about me lately. I'm sorry. And to be restored, to be encouraged. And so that's
beautiful.
My word for the Bible.
Very good. It's interesting, Chip. I've heard a number of people tell me that the word has come alive to them and fresh to them by getting the audio Bible on their phone, like falling asleep listening to someone read scripture to them in a similar light, but just saying, I'm hearing it again for the first time. It's a great word. Well, you know, Tozer wrote one day long ago that what comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And you say as well that our distorted view is really the root of all of our problems, our distorted view of God. In fact, I think that quote from somebody else in your young journey deeply impacted you. So say more about that, if you would.
You know, I didn't grow up in the church, and I had never read the Bible, and I would just say to everyone, here's the deal, before, you know, those who have this real sensitive conscience, everybody's view of God is messed up, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just how messed up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of us. No, your view of God will be accurate when you meet him face-to-face, and when you do, you're going to be transformed. And so, but we have a montage that over the years, and it was an aunt who was like this, it was a movie that we saw, it was what those of us that went to church some, or those who went to church a lot, or... you know, we've read the Bible, and all those pieces come together, and we form this view of God. And I think the challenge is recognizing, is that really the God of Scripture? And I think we assume it is because it's all we know. It's like, you know, like some of us that grew up in an alcoholic family, even though it was fairly functional in some ways, I thought it was normal. Well, I mean, because it's all I knew. And the big aha moment came for me. I was playing on a Christian basketball team in the Orient with an Australian team sharing Christ right after I got out of college, and a missionary there with the CMA. We were in Hong Kong, and the library on like floor 39 was used for a church on the weekend, And we went and as a team and met with him, and he saw a little spiritual interest in me, and he looked at me, and he had this wall of all just thin paperbacks, but they were all classic Christian books. And he said that as a practice, he read one book a day. He was a speed reader, and that kind of impressed me. And so he pulled this real thin one off and gave it to me. He goes, why don't you read that and get it back to me before you guys leave? I think you would really enjoy it. And it was A.W. Tozer's The Knowledge of the Holy. And it was on the attributes of God. And so I'm like 21 years old. I don't know what an attribute is. I've never heard of an attribute. I mean, in English I heard of it, but the attribute of God. And so I read that statement. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And he goes on to say, because there is a secret law of the soul that we gravitate toward our view of God. And then I begin to read. The chapters are just like 2.5 pages. And for whatever reason, you know, some authors really connect with you. So he really, really connected with me. And others have told me, thanks for writing your book, Chip, because I'm an engineer. I have a master's degree. I don't really know what he's saying. So, but for whatever reason, and I remember vividly reading these little chapters, and I had to stop. I mean, they were only like 2.5 pages, but it was like, oh, God is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. He's eternal. He's absolutely fair and just. And then when I got to the chapter on the goodness of God, I read it, and the thought was, I wonder if God actually could be like this. Because the God that I grew up, I didn't know it, but the God I grew up worshiping, his arms were crossed, his toe was tapping, he had a bony finger pointed at me, he had a blue suit, he had a badge, he had a club, and guilt was what he dispensed, and you were probably doing something wrong all the time, and if you were really having fun, you probably shouldn't be. And all this was embedded, the idea that I live under a friendly sky, and that the God, though exalted in majesty and power, is eager to be my friend, that he's kind and cordial, that he's loving, that he finds a happiness, you know, a holy happiness in my joy. I mean, those were like, who is this? And I remember realizing, you know something? I've read the New Testament. I've been a Christian for 3 years, 3.5. I'm reading the New Testament through a filter of a warped view of God. And part of the reason surrender was so hard for me, or lordship, or overcoming certain temptations, was I'll miss out. I mean, if I do what God says, I'll miss out because God, he doesn't have my best interest in mind. He's not for me. I mean, I better find the right girl because, you know, who knows what kind he would get me, right? Or I better find the right job, or, you know, if I get crazy like some of these Christians, he'll send me to some foreign land with snakes and spiders and, you know, and all of that was rooted in a warped view of God. And so that began a journey with actually his book. And I read a chapter every day. And I'm sure I missed a day here and there, but I'm not exaggerating. Every day a chapter for probably 10 years.
From the knowledge of the Holy.
And then the next 10 years, I read at least a handful of chapters every month. And then the next 10 years, it's been actually year 25, I remember I got a Christmas present. My wife, her birthday, she gave me a new one because it's been in my briefcase. And the oil produced acid and it through the book.
Oh,
and so for the next, you know, 5 or 6 years, you know, I probably wouldn't go a quarter without reading, you know, a handful of chapters. And so, I mean, you know, I've got like 35 years reading this one book. And because what I realized is the drift always happens. And the reason I ended up writing my book was what I realized was, okay, I can intellectually agree that God is good, that he's kind, that he's loving. How do I get that from my head to my heart? And so I started making out these cards and going through a process to help me believe it. And that's really what this book is about, taking J.I. Packard and Tozer and really, really smart people and trying to help us regular people. How do we digest it?
Amazing. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Chip Ingram, title of his book, The Real God, How He Longs for you to see him. Isn't it good news that he's not an arm crossed, toe tapping, angry God? He's kind, he's loving, and he's eager to be your friend. Isn't that amazing? More with Chip Ingram when we return. To let that play out, I think that song just makes my knees weak every time I hear it, The Lord's Prayer by Selah. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Chip Ingram today. You hear him every day on Faith Radio on Living on the Edge. He's got an amazing, powerful new book titled The Real God, How He Longs for You to See Him. Would love to get your name in on the drawing. Like I said at the open of the show, it's like a love letter. It really is. We all have misconceptions about God. We need to be put right in these ways. Otherwise, we'll never fulfill all that he intended us to fulfill. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And we'll never enjoy him the way he intends to be enjoyed. So, Chip, what would you say, you're talking to millions. What would you say are the most common misconceptions, other than the arms crossed, toe-tapping, angry God? Are there any other common misconceptions about God that you've identified?
You know, there really are. There are, and it reflects in people's lives. So you kind of meet people that basically are pretty loose morally, and it's sort of like God has got a white beard, he's in a rocking chair, he's laid back, and hey, it's about grace, baby, you know, don't worry about a thing, you know. And of course, the consequences of sin, whether I agree with them or not, or whether think God, you know, they don't have a clear picture of God's holiness. And as a result, it creates a real discrepancy. And we can actually train ourselves to really accommodate some lifestyles and be very sincere. You know, God loves me. If I've heard this once, I've heard it, you know, a dozen times. You know, God loves me so much and wants me to be so happy. I know that the Bible says it's wrong to divorce my husband. I don't have any grounds, or my wife, or, you know, I know an affair is wrong, or pornography, but God wants me to be happy, and I feel so happy in this relationship. So, you know, that's one. It's sort of the white beard, laid back, passive. You do whatever you want because, you know, kind of like coming to grandma's house. Mm. It's all good, you know. I think another one that I is the – sometimes it's the – just the shame. It's sort of this picture of the transfer of a parent who, no matter what you did, it never measured up. And it's not that he's necessarily always mad, but it's kind of like – you know, if you prayed for 10 minutes, you should have done 15. You know, if you gave X dollars, you probably should have given more. And it creates this, often some of the most committed, driven Christians have a subtle, warped view of God that I really love you when you're good, but, so make sure you're doing good. And so a lot of maybe people that find themselves feeling a lot of guilt or shame or legalistic or, you know, gosh, I missed church one day or I didn't read my Bible today. And they kind of have this like, what, gosh, am I, you know, I'm going to have a flat tire. Am I going to lose my salvation? There's just a real view of a God that no matter what you do, it's never, never quite enough. And then I think there's some people that just have real perceptions of a God who's like a rejection that they've experienced, maybe either in a marriage or from, you know, they try to pray and the Our Father is, what do you mean? It's a blank. I mean, I didn't have a father, or the father that I had or the parents that I had, you know, dysfunctional backgrounds really impact, you know, our view of God. Mm. So, you know, I think a lot of it is, and, you know, bad teaching. I mean, you know, you can just, you meet people that have heard on either end of it's interesting. It tends to go, you know, the sort of an extreme, fiery, angry, holy God on one end, or a passive, gracious, loving God who just always wants you to be happy, as opposed to, you know, a God who is, you know, Jesus said, Our Father. That was a radical way to pray.
Yeah.
When he taught his disciples to pray that. There's intimacy. There's love. But what we know is good fathers, they give you what you need, not always what you want. And
right.
Good fathers have a real design and a plan. And our Father, knowing it's for our good, he certainly wants us, quote, to be happy. but his agenda is that we would be holy. And so I, you know, I think it's a real it's a great discussion to have with people that you feel good and safe with, to say, so, you know, what, how do you actually see God? And when you bow your head, close your eyes and start to pray, what does your behavior say about how maybe you might think about God that's less than accurate?
Boy, we've got about 3 minutes left to a break at the bottom of the hour, so we can carry this to the other side. And I want to say this carefully and qualify it in that we're all works in progress, as you were saying, Chip, and God sends new mercies to our door because we need them. However, I do think there are times we make significant mistakes as Christians that impact other Christians, like maybe baby Christians or unbelievers' view of God. I'd love for you just to say a word about that. I mean, maybe it's self-righteousness. Maybe it's you need to think like me to be okay, where we try to force growth or force perspective that God's really okay with them unfolding as they walk with him, if you know what I mean.
Well, actually, I think you stated it about as well as I ever could. Maybe I'll try and tell a quick story that will help this. Sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. A lady came up to me one day, and it was a former, when I pastored another place, and it was a very, very liberal, super progressive place with, you know, tons of drugs and people and satanic issues. I mean, they came to Christ. It was a great ministry, but hard ministry. And a lady who'd grown up in the church, and she came to me and said, "Do you see that man out there? And, you know, he's got those tattoos, and he's smoking outside the church. I want you right now to get out there and tell him to stop smoking outside the church. I can't believe you're the pastor, and you let him do that." You know, she was just in between services, lighting into me. And you know, I was, by God's grace, I was pretty gracious at the moment. And I just looked at her, and because I had his name, I actually probably shouldn't say his name, but I was really good friends with him. It was in a discipling process. And I turned to her and I said, "Oh, ma'am, you got to understand, smoking cigarettes, if I could, that's probably one of the best things I've ever seen him do." And she looked at me and I said, "Oh, no, ma'am, you need to understand. This guy has been a hardcore, I mean hardcore drug addict, as in heroin, crack. This guy has been a drug dealer, an alcoholic. He's come to know Jesus. He is making such progress. Mm. He's broken away from that. He's in the scriptures. He's changing. You know what? He actually, in our last Bible study together, he said, boy, you know, kind of one of the last external holds as these cigarettes." And I said, "You know what? God's going to give you the grace along the way. You know, hang in there, you know." Yeah. So I said, "Ma'am, if you don't mind, when I see him smoking there, it brings a joy to my heart." I mean, it's probably not good for his health, but when I see where he came from, and that's how I think our Father sees
Indeed.
Him. So why don't we just give him a little room?
Indeed. And I know that's how God sees us all, one step at a time, and we need to do that for each other. Talking to Chip Ingram, title of his book, The Real God, How He Longs, I love that, longs for you to see him. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, write Real God somewhere in that email. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you will get a very Merry Christmas present. This is a fantastic book. Back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, having a really great conversation with Chip Ingram. His new book is titled The Real God, How He Longs for You to See Him. Chip, I remember somebody once said long ago that we make two mistakes so often when it comes to the things of God. We take too much credit and we take too much blame. And in your book, you tell a story about a time when your church was experiencing exponential growth. And on the inside, though, you battled moments of despair because of the demands and challenges that it just put upon you, and you judged yourself, wondering, you know, if you could do this or that better, if you were a better leader this way, and kind of were coming down on yourself. And then one day it came to a head where you're sitting in your office and somebody from your church had given you something. Tell us that story and just what it taught you about God and his heart for you.
Yeah, it was, it's really funny. As I was reviewing, by the way, children at home, don't try this at home for God's will. But just as I was reviewing for our time together, I just opened my Real God book and it came to that page and I reread the passage. I think sometimes people think pastors are really doing a lot better than they are. And not that, don't get me wrong, I don't, you know, there's a higher standard. We're leaders. But I think there's times where you step out and you do exactly what, you know, or at least what you think God wants you to do, and He blesses it. And you still have times of doubt and discouragement and fear. And sometimes it's hard when it's hard, but sometimes it's even harder when it's really, really good. Like, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do? I don't know how all this happens. And I remember just feeling overwhelmed. It got to where every new round of something wonderful felt like more pressure that I'm inadequate to do this. And someone had sent me a card, but in calligraphy or something. It wasn't just like a little letter, and it was laying in an envelope in my desk. And I was literally just, if not actually crying, tearing up. Like, God, I just don't know how much more I can take. And I was distracted, so I just, you know, I pulled out this card, and it was kind of fancy. It looked really pretty, and it said, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And I remember, you know, that's Zephaniah 3:17. And I remember reading that, and the thought, just all, you know, for years by then, I had been renewing my mind and reading Tozer about God's goodness. But at the core, you know, like under pressure, we always go back to our default. So, you know, from my dad was a great guy, but his way of loving was he wanted me to be successful. So, you know, I was that kid that if you got four A's and a B, we talked about the B. Or, you know, if you, you know, got two hits and didn't get the other two, we talked about why. And so I was so embedded that no matter how good it goes, you never measure up. And I just remember reading that and thinking, He'll take great delight in you. He'll quiet you with His love. And then by then, you know, we had children, and He will rejoice over you with singing. And a picture came to my mind of in the middle of the night or when our kids were sick, and I would hear Teresa, you know, rocking them in the next room and singing. I just thought, that's how you feel about me? God, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, that's how you delight in me? And all I can tell you was, and maybe this is how it works, I don't really know, I think I got a glimpse. It was just like a flash of, oh, that's the real God. And whenever you do get even a glimpse of the real God, it just breaks through a lot of darkness. And it was like, you know something? I wasn't adequate for where this church was X number of people ago. I'm not adequate right now. If you keep doing things that I don't understand, I won't be adequate later. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. You delight in me right now. You quiet me with your love.
Wow.
And, you know, I think for maybe some people listening who feel like, gosh, I'm trying so hard to be a great mom. I'm trying to be a great dad. I'm working at the church. I'm serving at every one of the Christmas Eve services. You know, we've given more money this year than ever before, and yet they just quietly feel like, and yet I don't feel like I measure up. That's not the real God.
You know, as you're talking, Chip, I can't help but think of Psalm 91:1, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I wonder if one of the fruits, it has to be, of coming to know that. I mean, you get this picture of your wife rocking one of your children in the next room, coming to a deeper understanding of God's nurturing of our hearts and his care for our story. I bet it brings a deeper rest. It has to me, a deeper rest where you don't have to be all things to all people and you're really okay to be misunderstood at times. I mean, you know what I mean? The more that we know this love, I think it fills up something that we try to get from so many other places.
I think you're right. And it's interesting, the more you begin to ponder and go down this journey, all of a sudden some things that Jesus said that you kind of know, they go from your intellect more to I don't know how to say it, visceral to your heart, or just even as you said that, it was just what Jesus was saying. Well, all of you that are, you know, heavy laden, all of you that are stressed out, all of you that feel overwhelmed, come into me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly in spirit. You'll find rest for your soul." I mean, this was the appeal that Jesus was giving to a people in a really hostile environment. And I think especially, you know, at times too, we're always down on the Pharisees, and I try not to be quite so down on them because I see so much of me. You know, probably the first 10 years, man, I was one of the disciples, and the Pharisees were always the bad guys, you know. And then probably a little bit later, I just realized, boy, oh boy, I've got a lot of that self-righteous junk in me. And just to hear Jesus say, just what you said, you know, you can rest in me. It doesn't remove responsibility. Actually, when you're yoked to him, you're just going to follow. He'll show you what to do. But it's not this frantic
strive.
Striving. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Back to Psalm 46:10, be still or cease striving and know that he is God. I mean, that, remember studying that word know, and it really is exactly what your book is talking about, an invitation to know him more intimately. And man, you think of these different areas we all have striving in. If we could learn to stop the soul unrest and bring it before the Lord, what would happen? If it's okay with you, I want to read an excerpt from your book and have you comment on it.
Sure.
Because, you know, when you think too, sometimes we see God as a fishing buddy, and though he invites us to intimacy, he's sovereign and holy, and you address that. What should our response be? It should be to bow. But I love this. You said, "So I invite you now on a sacred and holy journey, one that must be taken with great care and sobriety, one that must begin with a warning. Be advised, you are entering holy ground. You are welcome to tread here, but do so attentively. The study of God himself is the loftiest and most significant pursuit that you could ever undertake. The rewards are great, but the risks are real. You're not going where no one has gone before. You're going somewhere far better, to a place you are ultimately designed to explore." This is the other aspect of knowing him more intimately. Speak more to that, if you would.
Well, I think, you know, whether you read church history or whether you kind of watch, you know, the landscape of high churches versus, I won't call them low churches, but maybe more casual and contemporary churches, you know, I think we sway from intimacy to transcendence. You know, there's been seasons where God is so transcendent, so holy, so other, so unapproachable light that people have, rather than fear the Lord, they've been just simply afraid. And he's out there, and maybe he's in control, but to think that God really cares for me is really hard to grasp. And I think the pendulum in evangelical circles swung probably at least in the last 50 or 60 years to a much more he's my Abba, he's my Father, he understands me, there's intimacy, you know, God really gets it, you know, and again, I'm not saying good or bad, but it's, you know, I grew up in a tradition that, you know, you bowed when you walked into this cross and the stained glass window. And now I'll teach a lot of places where everyone's coming in with coffee and eating a donut during worship service. And my point is, there certainly is a sense of, isn't it wonderful that the holy God of the universe would want to share a cup of coffee with me and that he cares about everything? But I think the flip side of what the passage you wrote was, I think, of a missing element in our day. In evangelical circles, is this sense of the transcendent. This isn't your buddy, okay? He's eager to be your friend, but this is the one who spoke words and billions of galaxies came into existence. This is the one who, even a glimpse of him, you would perish. This is a high and holy God who's pure and can't tolerate a modicum of sin. There's no atom in all the universe that he's not holding into place, but if he would let go, the entire thing would just shrivel up. That's entering into a very different place. And so I think there's always going to be tension, but I think even in our personalities, some of us you know, are more comfortable and see God as very high and holy, and others much more casual. And I think it behooves us as people to to really ask ourselves, when I'm approaching God, you know, there's some pretty important verses like, don't come and shoot off your mouth, you know. Better think before you speak. It's better to not make a vow than make a vow and break it. It's idle babbling. I mean, there's a lot of verses that say, you know, if you had 4 minutes in the presence of the divine creator of the universe, so I think I'd prepare a little bit before I open my mouth. I would really kind of think about who am I talking to, and so I think it's that sense that is equally as important as Abba, Father. I feel like my life's ready to explode, and I just want to cry. And would you hold me right now? And He will, but He's both infinitely holy and amazingly approachable.
Just
a great word. I mean, you know, if I keep quote, you know, I quote Him a lot for obvious reasons. But he says the great paradox of worship with God is, and I won't quote it imperfectly, but it's such a great concept. He says the great paradox is to have a great fear of God and yet not be afraid.
Boy, that's fantastic. Psalm 147, listen to this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them by name. How great is our Lord! How His power is absolute, His understanding beyond comprehension. He supports the humble and He brings the wicked down into the dust. You know, the juxtapositionship of that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds, and He counts the stars and calls them by name. He's big and He's small. You know, He's far, He's near. It, like you say, living in that tension and that power. We're going to pause here, but when we come back, I want you to answer the question, that person listening today, Chip, who's like, the star-breathing God wants me to know Him intimately. What must I do to know this God as He truly is? I'd love for you to answer that question. Talking to Chip Ingram, title of his book, The Real God, How He Longs for You to See Him. Did I say I love this book? I really do. I would love you to get your name in the drawing. Excuse me. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Write Real God somewhere in that email. We'll be back in a minute. Boy, you could spend your whole life getting to know who God is, and it's like you hold the Dixie cup and the ocean remains. And yet, He invites us to know Him intimately, to the way that informs everything we think and do and how we live this life on earth. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really blessed and honored to be talking to Chip Ingram today. You hear him every day on Living on the Edge here on Faith Radio. We're celebrating the release of his new book, The Real God, How He Longs for You to See Him. And before the break, Chip, I set up the question, the idea that this is a star-breathing God. He put the stars in place, and He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He tends to the poor. It's absolutely amazing that He's so big and He's yet so near. So to the person listening today going, okay, I'm getting a picture of God I never had before. What must I do to know Him as He truly is? What do you say?
Well, as I think, you know, one, can I just tell you, it's a real joy to get to do this with you, because I feel like I'm literally having a cup of coffee as we do this. I feel like I'm sitting having a cup of coffee with a friend that we're sharing scripture and learning from each other and just happen to have a few people eavesdropping.
That's awesome.
I didn't mean few as in that, not that a lot of people listen, but so comfortable. So thank you very much. And, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, what's amazing about your question is how can we really know Him is that God so longs for us, He gives us a promise. And He says that, seek me and you'll find me. Mm-hmm. And if you seek for me with all your heart. And Jesus, in like manner, which is so often you see these classic Old Testament passages, and then, you know, Jesus, you know, as He teaches on prayer, then says, well, you know, seek, knock, ask. And it's a prayer that God really, really wants to answer. And one of the I just call it a classic passage, is in Proverbs chapter 2. And it's the wisest man in the world speaking to his son and to us about, how do you ever discover the real knowledge of God? And he says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, Proverbs 2, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it for as a hidden treasure, then you will discover the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And, you know, I do a little section in the book of, as you go through each one of those verses, you just realize one is he's going to be found in his word. And people who know God are people of the Bible. A second, he's going to be found by people with high intentionality. There's a real desire. This is what they want. You know, turn your heart, turn your ear toward a wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. So there's effort. You know, there's someone I think rightly said is, God doesn't have all of his treasures laying on top of the ground. He wants his children to dig and demonstrate that this really matters. And then, you know, it's more than just a little prayer. If you cry out, I mean, think of being in the ICU with one of your kids or a friend. It's this word for, I got to have this. God, I really, really want to know you. That's what he's looking for, a hungry heart. And then he talks about priorities. He says, if you seek it for silver, when I taught this recently, I told people, here's a word picture for you, and I want you to really imagine this is true, that, you know, there's $10 million in your backyard, and it's buried in your backyard, but it's only buried, you know, less than 5 feet. So you don't have to dig too deep. But if you can find it in the next 3 days, it's yours. If you can't find it in the next 3 days, it comes back to me. And then I said, okay, now, What would it be like? It was, you know, it was a Sunday service, and I said, okay, you're going to walk out the doors. So basically, you know, there's $10 million in your backyard. So you're probably going to say, hey, you know, there's a good football game on. I think I'll watch that. And, you know, maybe want to go out to dinner after that, and maybe after dinner. Yeah, I'll put it on the list. I'll write down the list. I really do need to dig in the backyard and look for that. I said, you know what? I know you all here. You're text messaging before I'm out of here. You've got a backhoe delivered to your house. Some of you are going by Ace Hardware. Your backyard's so small, you're thinking, we need two shovels. We'll find it this afternoon. I said, you all would go with an intensity after this because none of you are going to pass up $10 million. And I said, that's what this is saying. It's that kind of, God, this matters more than, and then you fill in the blank. And, you know, we all, you know, we have a phrase, I try not to use it, but of course I do, like everyone else. And someone asks you something, oh, I'd really like to, but I didn't have time. Everyone has the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I always have time. Every day I do what mattered most.
That's right.
Now, it's not what I say matters most, but every day, wherever I spent my time, that's at some point, consciously or unconsciously, I chose to do that. So it's sort of that idea that God's looking for people to say, I really matter most. And if I become matter most to you, then you will understand the fear of God. And then you will discover the knowledge of the Holy One. And then everything else, it's like something locks into position, and every other relationship, every pressure, then falls into a different category because you'll look at it differently. This sort of I picture it as this infinite reference point becomes now the center of your heart and your life, and it's a process. And you know, don't write me and say, well, how did you do this? And how do you have it all together? Not even close, but you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, you structure into your life. I really want to know God, and you seek him, you'll find him, because he wants to be found.
Wants to be found. We've got about 3.5 minutes just to wrap this question and pray. But speaking of Tozer, I'm reading a Tozer book now. I love him so much. I think it might have been Pursuit of God, but I don't remember which one of his books. But he talked about how curious he was, why God used certain people. They rose above the fray. If God's no respecter of persons, why this person but not the rest, you know? And he went on a treasure hunt, and he said, you know, the differences couldn't have been more different. One was rich, one was poor, black, white, you know, man, woman. And the thing that he'd found was that they had something that he called, that they developed called spiritual receptivity, that when the Lord spoke, they actually did something about it. They just developed a lifestyle of responding to God, of listening for him and responding to him. And I would love for you to speak to that, Chip, just as we're getting ready to wrap up here today, that God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. He's looking for faith, and hopefully he'll find it in us. What say you?
I say keep listening to Susie on that, and you should keep talking, because I just agree 100%. And I think it's cultivating the habit. I think every, you know, I think sometimes we over spiritualize. I cultivated the habit. It was really hard to read the Bible every morning and talk to God. I cultivated the habit to write in my journal about every other day about what's really going on inside. I cultivated the habit to go on a date with my wife, and would say all those things I don't always feel like doing, but as they became a habit. Boy, what happened over time, and I think we cultivate a habit of receptivity, of just listening to God's voice. I mean, it's a very simple prayer, and sometimes because I can't figure out a practical way, and I'm real practical, is, you know, like I'll say, God, I want to get a prompting from you. If there's if you want me to help anybody, if you want me to be sensitive to someone, would you bring it to my mind today? And I'm praying that you'll do that. Well, we've all prayed that, and then by 10 o'clock, I forget. So what I often will do is take my watch and put it on my other wrist, or my wedding ring on the other hand, just for the day. And so, because it feels uncomfortable, but every time I look down, it's like, oh, okay, I'm looking. I'm looking today, Lord. Do you want to bring someone into my life? And what's pretty amazing is almost every time I do that, he brings someone into my life. And I don't think it's just because they were available that day. I think it was my antenna was up. I'm pretty sure God would bring almost every day something or someone. And so I think it's cultivating the habit of, here am I, Lord, you know, send me. God, if you want to speak to me, my sort of goal is, if I get a prompting or a thought or an idea that has to do with sacrifice or time or money and doing something for someone else, it's probably from God, and because that's not how my heart works.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
So if you get a prompting to give someone some money, you may argue with him for a while, but it's probably not from you.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about it.
This has been so good, Chip. And as we wrap up, wondering if you would pray for us that we would develop a lifestyle of receptivity and we would better know who God is.
Oh, Father, you know that even as we talk about things, we talk them better than we live or even experience them. And so I pray for me, along with every single person right now listening, that would you help us cultivate an antenna that's receptive to your spirit. Lord, we would pray together that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation into your will for each one of us, into the real knowledge of who Jesus really is, that we could walk in a way that's blameless. You'd help us to grasp how much you love us, how much power we already have, and God, would you help us to cherish who you are and what you've done for us this Christmas like never before. And we pray it boldly in Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear Chip, we sure do love you and appreciate all that you do.
Thanks.
Thank you for taking the time today.
It's been my delight. I think you guys ministered to me way more than I did. Wow. So God bless you all.
Always love having you on the show. Title of Chip's book, again, this is one you got to read. It's called The Real God, How He Longs for You to See Him. Email me if you want in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your address. I loved today's show. I pray you found as much encouragement as I did. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast to today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.